Hello, boys and girls. Good to see you again today, or at least to be seen by you again today. I hope you're enjoying our virtual VBS. We certainly are enjoying doing this for you. And remember, if any time you have missed an episode, you can always go back to the Faith Free Presbyterian Church website, click on VBS, and you'll be able to... Mr. B, so good to see you again. And I notice that you're wearing a crown on your head. Is that because of the coronavirus? You know that the word for crown in Spanish is corona. Is that the reason why you're wearing it? Oh, it isn't? Well, then why? Wait a minute. You're the queen bee, right? You're the... Oh. He's the king bee. He's the king bee. But Mr. Bee... I don't think there's a king in the beehive. There's always a queen, but there's no king. But so why are you wearing a crown? Oh, he is the king bee of VBS. I see. Well, Mr. King, it's so good to have you here, and I'm so glad to have you. If you want to be the king, you can be the king. So good to see you again. Come back again tomorrow, Mr. King B of VBS. Bye-bye. Let's have a word of prayer, boys and girls, and then we'll get started today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for our Savior who said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." We thank you that we can come before you as we open your word, as we learn the memory work, as we read your word, as we listen to the stories. We thank you that we can come before our Savior and that he welcomes us. We pray that you will be with us today. Help us in everything that we do, that we might honor the Savior who loved us and died for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dr. Everly, I think, has some music for us today. Let's sing.
Boys and girls, let's sing, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Did my Sovereign die at the cross?" This first verse has a lot of big words in it. I want to just think about some. Alas, that's a word that talks about us being very sad. Oh my, what a terrible thing my sins are. But we have a Savior, one who comes to save. And then it says, "My Sovereign." Did my Sovereign die? That word Sovereign, that's talking about a king. Jesus was a Savior, but he was also a king. And he devoted, he gave his sacred head, he gave his whole life for us. And then it says, compares us, Christ is a king. It says that we are so lowly, we're almost like a worm. But at the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, when we trust in him, all the burdens of our sins are rolled away. Let's sing together.
At the cross, Hi, boys and girls. It's time for our fourth mission trip. So far, we've been to the Czech Republic, where we met the Schultzes, to Liberia, where we met Reverend David DeCanio and Miss Joanne Greer, and to Australia, where we met the Gardners, the Grahams, and the Halls. Today, we're going to Mexico. That's almost all the way on the other side of the world from Australia. Mexico is a beautiful country with a great variety of landscapes, climates, plants, animals, people, and cultures. It's bordered to the north by the United States. Its official name is Los Estados Unidos Mexicanos, or the United Mexican States. That sounds a lot like the name of our country, doesn't it? The United States of America. Do you know how many states are in the United States of America? 50. The United Mexican States has 32. Mexico is the 10th most populated country in the world. Do you remember that Australia has only 3 people per square kilometer? Mexico has about 65 people per square kilometer. The capital city of Mexico, which is Mexico City, is one of the largest cities in the world. The main language spoken in Mexico is Spanish. Do you know how to say hello in Spanish? Hola. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Hello, how are you? And do you know how to say goodbye? Adios. Do you like Mexican food? Things like burritos, tacos, enchiladas, and nachos all come from Mexico. And here's a fun fact that I bet you didn't know. Chocolate originally came from Mexico. We can be glad for that, can't we? Who doesn't like chocolate? Here's another fun fact. The world's smallest dog, the Chihuahua, comes from Mexico. Chihuahuas may be tiny, but they have huge personalities. I hear they actually make great watchdogs. Our missionaries in Mexico are Reverend and Mrs. Jason Boyle and their son Caleb. The Boyles have been in Mexico for 10 years. Their church is in Mexico City. Over the years, they have developed relationships with other churches in Mexico and in other parts of Latin America who are interested in becoming Free Presbyterians. Mr. Boyle is helping to train men to serve as elders and pastors in Latin America. These men include Lalo Peña in Cordoba, Ramon Sosa in the Dominican Republic, and Jair Aguilar in Tehuacan. Do you remember the sad facts we learned about the other countries we visited this week? The sad fact about the Czech Republic is that it is the most atheistic country in the world. Very few people there believe in God. In Liberia, the sad fact is false religion. People there call themselves Christians, but they have mixed up false teaching with God's truth. The sad fact about Australia is that, like the people in the Czech Republic, its people also tend towards atheism. As we look at Mexico, we see that its people are more like the Liberians. Many of them will say they believe in God and the Bible, but their religion is false because it adds things to God's truth. Let's talk more specifically about what that means in Mexico. The vast majority of people in Mexico are Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics say they believe what the Bible says, and they do believe some of what it says, but on some very important matters, they don't. They also say that you need more than just the Bible to tell you how to come to God. They add a whole lot of traditions and other extra things that aren't in the Bible. The Bible says that the only way to have your sins forgiven and to have peace with God is through trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Roman Catholics believe that you also have to do certain things like good works, going to church, and participating in certain church ceremonies. But if you believe that, it means that you are, at least in part, saving yourself. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not what we do that saves us. It's what Christ did. Catholics are also taught to confess their sins to a priest. Does the Bible teach that? No. The Bible teaches us to confess our sins to God. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And when Catholics confess their sins to a priest, the priest tells them to do penance to make up for their sins. He tells them to say the Lord's Prayer or other prayers a number of times, or to do some good deed to atone for their sins. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. Our sins are forgiven based only on what Jesus Christ has done for us, not on anything we do. Catholics believe that they need the help of the Virgin Mary or so-called saints to pray to God for them. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can make it possible for us to come to God. Catholicism is closely tied with culture and society in Mexico. Mexican families are very close-knit, and religion is an important part of family life. So most families are very unhappy if someone wants to leave the Catholic Church. It's seen as an insult to the family. As you can imagine, this kind of thing can make it very hard for missionaries in Mexico to tell people the true gospel. And it can be very hard for new Christians. Their family and friends may turn against them. It may also take them a while to get rid of all those false ideas about God and salvation that they learned growing up. That's one reason our missionaries in Mexico, the Boyles, have asked us to pray for Christian growth for the people they work with. Pray that these people will become strong Christians who know and love the Lord and who will be useful in God's work in Mexico. The other thing the Boyles would like us to pray for is that people in Mexico will fear God. Because of the Catholic belief that you can pay for your sins yourself, people tend to think that they can sin and then go to the priest and do whatever he says and everything will be fine. They don't see sin as a big deal. They forget that God has a very different view of sin, and that they could never do enough to pay for their sins. They need to fear God and realize that their only hope of forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ. So let's review. The sad fact about Mexico is that so many of its people are caught up in the false religion of Roman Catholicism. As we remember the Boyles in Mexico, let's pray for growth for the Christians and for the fear of God to come on all those who don't know Him. That's all the time we have for our mission trip today. I'll see you next time.
Hi again, boys and girls. We're going to be learning another Bible verse today, but before we do, as we've always done, we're going to review the verses you've already learned. Say along with me, Romans 3:10 and 23. Let's go. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then yesterday we learned a Bible verse from the book of John. John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today we're going to learn another verse from Romans. It's Romans 10:9. And it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This verse tells us that it's not enough just to know that Jesus was God and he walked on earth, but each one of us individually has to put our faith in him. How do we do that? Well, we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we believe in our heart that he truly was God and God raised him from the dead. If we do that, if we have that testimony about Jesus Christ, and if we believe that God raised him from the dead, that he truly is indeed our Savior, then the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So let's learn this very good verse together. Romans 10:9. Say it along with me. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Maybe I said that too fast. Let's do it more slowly so that you can all say it along with me. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now I put some blanks in there. Can you fill in the blanks with me? Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, that's right, thou shalt be saved. All right, let's say it together. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you say it, boys and girls? I'm going to let you say it, and then we'll say it again together. Romans 10:9. All right, I can't hear what you said, but I'm sure you did a fantastic job. Let's say it together now. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Very good, boys and girls.
Hey, Millie. Thanks for bringing me to VBS this year. I really enjoyed it. I love the crowd, the stories, well, everything.
I know. I'm glad I finally get to find out what I've been missing. Sneaking into the van last year didn't work very well.
Where are those kids anyway? It's about to start.
I think I hear them coming.
I think the monkeys are on the computer again.
Uh-oh. We better hurry.
Yeah. Hi. We've been talking about stories. We started with fables, stories with anthropomorphisms, talking animals or other things behaving like people. Fables had a message, a moral. Then we talked about fairy stories or fantasy stories, stories which have non-real things like dragons, fairy godmothers, ghosts, or time travel. Depending on the message they teach and how they teach it, these stories can be good, not so good, or even bad. Today, we want to talk about stories that don't have non-real elements, stories that are either true or could be true. To explain what I mean, let me tell you a story. In the 1800s, George Mueller was the minister of a church in Bristol, England. At that time, there were many orphans in big cities, and Pastor Mueller felt a burden to help them. His church was not large enough or wealthy enough to do much. Mueller, however, was a man of great faith and much prayer. He decided that he would open an orphanage and trust God to provide for it. This is a photograph of Mueller's first orphanage in Bristol. Mueller read in the Bible that God would be a father to the fatherless, and he felt that God had, thus, promised to provide for these orphans. All Mueller needed to do was to remind God of the orphans' needs, and God would supply. And that's exactly what happened over and over again. After dinner one evening, there was no food left in the kitchen. Mueller knew this, and he prayed about it. The time came for breakfast, and the orphans were in the dining room. Mueller prayed and thanked God for their breakfast, even though there was no food. After he said amen, there was a knock at the door. A baker, who did not know of the orphanage's needs, had gotten up early and baked bread. He brought enough bread to feed all of the orphans and gave it to Mueller. At the same moment, a man was driving a cart of milk along the street in front of the orphanage, and its wheel broke. He would not be able to get the milk where he was supposed to take it on time, so he gave all of it to the orphanage. That morning, God answered Mueller's prayer by supplying the orphans' breakfasts. All right, is that a true story? Yes, as best we can tell, it is true. The photographs help us know that it was true, but there are other documents and testimonies of the people that were involved with the story to help us know that it's a true story. And the messages? They're also good. God is faithful to his promises. Mueller had a great deal of faith. God answers prayer. Those are all good lessons. About 30 years ago, I wrote a book. It's a story about 8-year-old Bob Duncan and his father as they live in an A-frame cottage in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. His father is a scientist who studies eagles. Things start getting interesting when there is a mysterious prowler in the woods near the cottage. Is this a true story? No. I made it up. Are there A-frame cottages in Upper Michigan? Probably. Do eagles live in Upper Michigan? Yes. Do people study these eagles? Probably. Some aspects of the story are based on my experiences in Michigan. Some of the characters in the story are like members of my family or friends. All the people, places, happenings, and everything else in my story could be true, but they aren't. They're all made up. My book is not a fantasy. There are no dragons, fairies, or ghosts. The eagles in my book are normal eagles. They aren't giant eagles that come swooping out of the sky to pick up Bob and carry him off to safety. There's no anthropomorphism in the book. The story about Bob, his father, and the eagles is realistic fiction. It's like real, but it's not real. It's a made-up story. Is my story bad because it's not a true story? Remember, the real value of a story depends on its message. That message is dependent upon what the storyteller wants the person listening to or reading the story to get from the story. So, what was my reason for writing this story? I wanted young people, about your age, to read about a couple of mistakes Bob made and the consequences they caused. There are some good spiritual lessons to learn from this story. Does everyone who reads the story learn these lessons? Of course not. Some just think it was a good story. They don't bother thinking about it enough to learn the lessons. Others don't think it was a good story because there's no dragons or car chases or gunfights in it. Okay, they didn't get the message either. For stories written by humans, that's fine. Maybe something else or some other story will teach them those lessons. But the parables you've been learning about this week were told by Jesus. That makes the messages they are communicating very, very important. Have you been learning the messages God is seeking to teach you in the parables you've been studying? Today, we're going to learn about the parable of the prodigal son. What's a prodigal? Am I a prodigal? Are you a prodigal? That's part of what God wants us to think about as we learn about the message of the parable of the prodigal son.
Hello, boys and girls. Yesterday, we talked about two lost things. Do you remember what they were? A sheep and a silver coin. Well, in the same chapter of Luke, chapter 15, Jesus told another parable about a lost thing, but this was a lost young man, a person like you and me. You know, boys and girls, people are far more valuable than sheep or coins, because people are made in the image of God, and they have living souls. You know, when our bodies die, our souls will live on forever, either in heaven or in hell. And God loved sinners like you and me so much that Jesus came to seek and to save lost sinners like us. Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me.'" Now, boys and girls, this boy had lived in his father's home all his life. His father had taken care of him. But that boy, he didn't want to live under his father's rules anymore. He didn't want to go where his father said and have to do everything his father wanted him to do. He wanted to have his own life. He wanted to live the way he wanted to live. So he asked his father, well, actually, it sounded like he demanded his father to give him the inheritance that his father had planned to give him sometime in the future. I expect that made his father very sad, but his father decided to give him the money. So a few days later, the boy gathered all of his possessions and took all of this new money that he had, and he left, and he went to a far country, Jesus said. Perhaps he never planned to come back and see his father again. We don't know. Well, that boy, he went to that far country, and he spent that money. He probably bought him some nice new clothes. Maybe he paid for big parties with friends, or at least people who called themselves friends. Maybe he built a nice new house. But the Bible says that he wasted his money in wicked living. And Jesus in his parable said that he spent all his money and he began to be in want. And what's more, a mighty famine came into the land. You know what a famine is. is a time when it's very hard to get food, and people die because they can't get enough to eat. Oh, what was the boy to do? He had spent all his money, and he didn't have enough for the basic needs of his life. And those friends that he had made? No man gave unto him, Jesus said. Jesus said that he met with a citizen of that land, and that man hired the boy to go into his field and feed his pigs. This man had a herd of pigs, and our young boy, he went, and he was so hungry that he would gladly have eaten the food that he was feeding to the pigs, but no man gave unto him. And Jesus said, when he came to himself, he said, even the servants in my father's house have enough food to eat and more. I will arise and go back to my father, and I'll say, Father, I have sinned, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Would you make me one of your servants? So the boy traveled that long way back to his home, perhaps all the way wondering what his father would say. What would be the reaction when he returned, having wasted all that money? Boys and girls, when he was yet a great way off, Jesus said, his father saw him. Do you know what the father did? He was so overjoyed that he ran to meet the boy, and he threw his arms around him, and he hugged and kissed him. And his boy said, oh, Father, I have sinned, and I'm not worthy to be your son. But his father said to one of the servants, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and go make a great feast. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they went and made merry. Now the older brother, he was out in the field, and as he was coming home, he heard music and celebration, and he asked one of the servants what was going on there at the house. And the servant explained that his brother had come home, and his father had welcomed him and had prepared a great feast because he had received him again safe and sound. Well, the older brother, he was angry, and he refused to go into the house. So the father came out and pled with him to come in. And the older brother said, well, all these years I've been here, and I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your commandments, and you never gave a feast like this for me. And now when this son of yours, who's wasted all of your money, comes home, you give him a feast? And his father said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But it is right for us to make merry and to rejoice, because your brother, who was lost, is found. And Jesus ended his parable there. Keep listening, boys and girls, as Miss Rebecca tells us a little more about the parable of the prodigal son.
The parable that you just heard is often called the greatest parable ever told. And the lesson behind it is definitely the greatest story ever told. So there's three people that I think you might have noticed in the story. There was the father, there was the prodigal son, the one that went off, and then there was the other son, the older son. Now these three people, they all teach us a lesson, and let's try to keep that straight, because sometimes it's easy to get confused about the person and then the lesson that they're trying to teach us. So the first one is the loving father. The loving father is a picture of God. when his son left to go into a life of sin, he was very sad. However, he did not stop loving his son. And as we saw in the story, he was watching for him and rejoiced greatly when his son returned to him. The prodigal son is like many of us. Many of us who don't want to obey God and we walk away from God. I've seen many people do this. They may know about God, but they choose to go their own way. They're lost in their sins. They may not be doing all kinds of bad things in front of other people, like the prodigal son was doing and wasting his father's goods out in the world amongst worldly and bad people. But they're still choosing their way instead of God's way. Each sinner that comes to Christ must come to be where the prodigal son became. Now, I don't mean you need to end up in a foreign country eating pig slop, but we do need to come to the point where the prodigal, where he realized that he needed to return to his father, and we need to realize that we need Christ. But that wasn't the only thing he needed. The prodigal could have just sat there and realized, I need to go back to my father, but I can't do that. And just chose not to go. But he didn't. He went back. He went to his father. And he didn't just go to his father. He repented. He asked for forgiveness. And that is what God calls us to do. To not just sit in our sin, but to repent. That's a word we've heard a lot today this week. To repenting is to turning away, remember? And turning towards God. And that is what we are called to do. That is what the picture of the prodigal son shows us. Just as in this story, the father welcomed his son coming back, God welcomes the sinner that turns from his sin and repents and asks for forgiveness. However, while Jesus was telling this story, we've got to remember the people that were listening. They were the Pharisees, and I'm sure they were horrified when they heard how the father was forgiving the son that was wasted everything in a sinful and terrible lifestyle. This was unforgivable in their minds. Remember, the Pharisees lived by the law, and in the law, they saw no room for forgiveness or grace. This takes us to the older brother. Many people feel like they are the older brother. They've done the right things. The older brother had stayed home and helped take care of his father and the household, all the things that were left undone when the younger son left. He felt like he'd held everything together and he'd done the right thing. But he was trusting in himself, just like the self-righteous Pharisee was trusting in him, in his works to save him. The older son was not trusting in his father. In fact, he got angry when his brother came back. Remember? He was so angry, the father had to come try to plead with him to come in to the party, to the celebration. In this, God is showing us that he is even calling to those who think they've got it all together, but they don't, that they need him too. We're not told in this story how the older brother responds, whether he follows his father into that celebration, and he celebrates and follows his father. But we do know how we are called to respond. So who are you today? Were you a prodigal that has come to Christ already and has gotten us forgiveness? Continue following Christ. Continue learning of him. And share what he's done for you with others around you. Or are you a prodigal who's currently living in sin, just doing your own thing, not wanting to follow Christ? Come to him. He will forgive you if you come and repent of your sin. The last person that you might be is the older brother. You might be still thinking that you can do it yourself, or you can keep working and you'll get it, but you never will. It's only through Christ. And we've learned that throughout our other lessons this week, that it's only through Christ that we can truly be saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this lesson today. I thank you that you've given us this wonderful picture of your love for us. in your forgiveness of the prodigal son, and in your calling and your begging the older brother to come to you as well. I pray that whoever these children can relate with, and however they feel that they have turned their back on you, I pray that they would come to you in repentance and asking for forgiveness. I thank you that you are ready to forgive, that you love to forgive, that you rejoice, you celebrate when a sinner comes to you. I pray that there would be much celebration today over sinners coming to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think it would be hard to forgive a son who had wasted everything that you gave him.
I know. It makes you realize even more God's love for sinners that come to him.
Yeah. I was also thinking about the other son. I'm that way sometimes. I start thinking about the good things I think I can do to earn God's love and not trusting God's grace.
I think I'm more like the prodigal son. I easily go my own way, but I know God will always bring me back to him.
I think I heard Mom call the older brother self-righteous once. He thinks his own good works or righteousness can save him, but it's only Christ's righteousness that can save sinners.
I know, there are a lot of people trying to live good lives, hoping it'll get them to heaven one day. I wish I could tell them all the great news of Christ's righteousness.
I would always be worried that I wouldn't be good enough if I didn't know that it wasn't what I can do, but what Christ has done for me.
Let's pray and ask God to help us share this great news with our friends and families this week.
Yes, but let's finish up VBS first.
Oh yeah, back to virtual VBS.
Welcome to day four of our VBS class, boys and girls, and I'm so glad that you could be with us today. Throughout this week, we have been adding some more details to our dioramas based on the parables that you've been hearing about. And so today I would like us to think about the sower and the seed. This is a really important parable for us to remember. And as I think about that parable, I can imagine the sower, and he's walking along the field that has been freshly ploughed, and he has some seed under his arm, and he's scattering the seed as he walks along. And we know from the parable that some of that seed falls by the wayside, the Bible tells us, and the fowls of the air, or the birds, they come and they eat that seed. And so I want us to remember that message, boys and girls, because it reminds us that there are things that hinder us from hearing God's word when it is preached to us or when we're told a story about the Bible. And so I want us to remember that this week and not to go away and forget about this parable. And so that's why today we're going to be making a three-dimensional tree, and then we're going to be attaching some small birds to the tree to just remind us of this parable. So we're going to go ahead and get started. The printable that you need for today looks like this, and it is figure four. So if you can go ahead and grab this, and really all you need for this is some scissors and some paint and a glue stick. So let's get started. So boys and girls, from the printable you can see that we've numbered the trees 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the reason I've done that is because we want to glue 1 and 3 together and 2 and 4 together. And the reason for that is that you can see there are lines here and here. And when we stick these together, then we will be cutting along this line, and that's how we'll attach the tree together to make a 3D structure. If you want to add a little bit more detail to the tree, you can. Right now I'm going to take my Sharpie and maybe add some leaves. If you don't want to do that, you can just go right ahead and start painting. I think I will add a little bit more detail by adding some branches coming up like this. Really doesn't matter if you don't want to do this, but I'm just going to show you to make it a little bit more realistic looking. And then if you would like to add something that looks like leaves, you could do it like this. boys and girls. I just went ahead and added some extra details to my trees and kept it very simple. And as you can see, I've added a little wing to the bird as well, kind of like a U shape. And you can do that if you like, or just leave them. So the next thing I'm going to do is grab my brush, and I'm just going to start painting the tree and keeping it very simple again. And if you have paints, then go ahead and you can use them, or just like before, feel free to use whatever is your preference. As you can see, boys and girls, I've kept it really simple, and I've just coloured all of my trees and the little birds, and I haven't picked very realistic colours, I don't think, for the birds, but I wanted it to be bright and colourful and cheerful looking. So what I'll do now is I'll start cutting out, and so that I don't get mixed up, I think I will cut out 1 and 3 first, stick those together, and then repeat for 2 and 4, and then cut out all the little birds. And then I'll show you what to do. Now what you should have, boys and girls, are your two trees that you've stuck together. And we've cut from the top of the tree down to somewhere near the centre. And it looks like this. Okay, and then the other one you've cut from the bottom up to somewhere near the centre. And we're going to slide this one down over like that. And kind of position it into place. And I think mine needs a tiny little bit of tape just to keep it together. Maybe yours is standing quite well on its own, but I'm just going to try and strengthen mine a little bit. So what I'm going to do, boys and girls, is just place a little piece of tape on the cut side of the tree, and then you can just bend it back so that it stands up again. And that stabilizes it and makes it a little bit more likely to stay together. Boys and girls, to finish off, as you can see, I've stuck the little birds on in various places, and I thought it would be really cute if one of the birds was finished up right on top of our fake tree. So if you want to do that, all you have to do is take your scissors and cut a very small slit from the bottom of the bird, and then you can place him right on top of the tree, and it will just sit there, and I think that looks really cute. So that's the end of our craft today, boys and girls, and the end of VBS for another day. I do hope that you'll come back tomorrow for the last day. It's hard to believe that we've almost completed a week of VBS. And so, as always, we want to bow our heads and pray now and just thank the Lord for everything that you've been learning about this week, and just ask his blessing upon us. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so, so much for this week of Bible lessons, for the songs, for the memory verses, and for the fun that we have had together. We are so grateful for your mercy and goodness to us. And Lord, I thank you for the reminder of the parable of the sower and the seed, and how the fowls of the air can come and steal away that seed that falls by the wayside. And so, Lord, help the boys and girls, help all of us to be good hearers when the word is being preached in our ears. And Lord, I pray that the things that they have heard this week, that it would sink deep, deep into their hearts, that they would be changed, and Lord, that they would be saved, and Lord, that you would grow these boys and girls to be strong Christians who will do mighty exploits for thee. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your mercy and grace to each one of us. Bless the boys and girls. Please bless their families that they represent. And Lord, will you be with us for the rest of this day, and help us to serve you in some small way. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.